My guest on Simply Folk is Simon Balto, a singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist who has roots in southwestern Wisconsin, but has traveled and played quite a bit around the upper Midwest. He calls his style Midwestern alt-folk, no surprise there, and we're going to hear what that sounds like in just a few minutes. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Your music is just terrific, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with our listeners. Why don't we start with a song right away so we can get a feel for you? What would you like to get started with?
I'm actually going to play a new song. This is a song called Magdalene.
From this window I can see a river rising, a little boat capsizing, another man down. And Magdalene, we all sometimes need an anchor, a sturdy elbowed savior and firmer ground. Well, Magdalene, there was a meanness all around me, it bridled me with evil before we met. I never seen nothing decent in this world, always slept with my fist curled and my jaw set. And though an awful darkness hung above the mattress where we laid, when I slept inside your crooked arms, I never dreamed afraid. And there's a hooded figure walking up my road, whistling a song. So won't you stay with me till morning? I'm leaving at the dawn. Well, Magdalene, won't you see me on home? And in this room, there's a single bulb that flashes. My fire's turning into ashes, bottles on the floor. And Magdalene, this holy Bible Daddy gave me, ain't done nothing much to save me, just shut another door. And Magdalene, I wish for you I had been better, that I'd written one more letter, not stayed away so long. Failing legs, a heart no longer set on beating, lungs that don't care much for breathing, a spine less strong. And though an awful darkness hung above the mattress where we laid, when I slept inside your crooked arms, I never dreamed afraid. And there's a hooded figure walking up my road, whistling a song. So won't you stay with me till morning? I'm leaving at the dawn. Well, Magdalene, won't you see me on home? In this mirror I see another river rising, another boat capsizing, another man down. And Magdalene, we all sometimes need an anchor, a sturdy elbowed savior and firmer ground.
Magdalene is the name of the song, Simon Balto. Wow. You know, they're so evocative, the lyrics that you write, and you get these images in your mind, and it's almost painting in a way. And there are some themes that run through your music, and that one certainly has some of those themes. You talk about you mentioned the Bible that your daddy gave you, and bottles on the floor, and evil, and the hooded figure whistling, walking up the... Where does that all come from?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out a little bit myself. A lot of the songs that I write have dark undertones, and I guess some overtones to them, which is sort of funny because I don't consider myself a very dark person. But I think, you know, some of it, especially the themes of loss and things like that, come from losing a lot of people in my life when I was young, and you know, as I've aged as well, and sort of watching people go through sort of navigating those losses, myself navigating those losses. The religious themes, I think, I was actually raised Jewish, so the biblical themes are sort of foreign to me, but as far as, you know, religion as a reference point and as a sort of crutch and bolster for a lot of different people in ways, is something that I think is, if not universal, it's something that's widely understood and felt. So,
I was wondering if the title Magdalene had anything to do with Mary Magdalene in the Bible.
You know, it's actually just a name that I find really pretty.
it is a pretty song. Well, you were talking about loss, and there's a song that you wrote and performed. We're not going to hear it today, but it was for your mother, and that one literally, in my office, listening, just caught me by the side and really knocked me over. It was beautiful and very, very filled with emotion and love and images. It was nice.
Thank you.
What's the title of that one?
That one's called The Tower and the Bloom.
Yeah.
I don't play it out very often. It's got to be the really, really right show to play it.
I would think so.
But yeah, it's a song that sometimes is hard to get through. But,
yeah, hard to listen and get through. Wow. Right. Neat. Well, you grew up in Wisconsin, right? Where were you born?
I was born in Milwaukee, but I was adopted by parents that had moved from Minneapolis to the southwest corner of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts?
About 20 minutes outside of La Crosse, kind of in the Viroqua area, the Driftless region.
Nice.
Which I think also has had a very deep impact on me, both as a person and certainly musically. There's a really, really vibrant folk and bluegrass community in that area, and so I'm really privileged in a lot of ways to come from it and try to represent it as best I can.
Nice. Well, why don't we hear another song? What would you like to do next?
I think we'll do a song called Just Kids. There's another sort of Midwestern theme running through it.
Last year in this small Midwestern town, it rained like hell most every day. The silhouettes of marionettes of two aging kids have been dancing in the drugstore window since early on in May. Well, the boy left home on the first day of that summer, said he was on the search for something true. So he wandered out from town to town and on to Brooklyn, where he laid himself down with a new girl or two. And the violence of his leaving brought the hard rain driving down. It pounded every house, flooded every street in town. And the town had shrugged and said, in time he will be coming home. Ain't that just like kids to think that you can make it on your own? stayed home all through that long summer, her rage burning up her mind. Her anger drove her to a whiskey bottle and to a stranger's bed inside. And the fury of her drink brought the hard rain driving down. It pounded every house and flooded every street in town. And the town had heaved a sigh and hoped that she would be alright. But ain't that just like kids to sit upon a bar stool every night? And by that fall, the boy's heart had grown weary. Months of searching for one to share. So he started west along the same roads that he traveled, with a memory of home and someone there. But all the questions of his coming home brought the hard rain driving down. It pounded every house, flooded every street in town. And the town had whispered, give her time, she'll come round in the end. But of them said, ain't that just like kids to screw over a good friend? In June next year will be better than the last one, come hell or come the flood. But push aside the hurt and put on airs of glory and build a vision of something that looks a lot like love. But there's a fear inside their love. It'll bring the hard rain driving down. It'll pound upon the houses. It'll flood every street in town. And the town will heave a prayer upon the young man and his bride. Protect the kids both from themselves and from their selfish pride.
Just Kids is the song. On the surface, about a couple of Midwestern kids, but boy, there's some truth-telling in that song that's a little bit kind of challenging, I guess, a little bit, it kind of shakes you up a little bit. Unsettling, maybe, I would say.
Yeah.
There's a line in that song towards the end there, and they're going to build a vision of something that looks a lot like love, which I found very powerful.
Yeah.
Well, where do these stories come from, Simon? Do you sort of conceive of a little story in your head and then start to write, or does it just come out?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with kernels. That's actually one of the oldest songs that I've written. It's definitely the oldest song that's on the record I put out. You know, I think coming from a very small, I mean, I grew up with, you know, without a neighbor for a mile and a half, and the nearest town of any size was about 350 people at the time. It's now about 250 people. You know, and there's, I think that sort of informs a lot of these, you know, stories that arise.
Did you go to a small school?
I went to a very small school. My elementary school was, I don't even know how small, but it was small. My graduating class from high school was, you know, for Wisconsin, not super small. It was about 120 or so, but you know, certainly by no means big.
No.
So yeah, it's a small place.
And that was your experience growing up, and that mm-hmm. sense of the town coming together and supporting or making judgments, or yeah,
and you know, in both ways. I mean, there's a lot of town. There's a lot of support. There's also a lot of everyone knows everything else about everybody.
That's right. So. You can't get away with much in a small town.
Right.
Did you take music lessons, or did you have music at school? How did you get started as a musician?
Well, I took I took piano lessons from the time I was about 5 years old till I was about 13. I hated it at the time, but you know.
And now you're grateful, right?
Right. My parents forced me to do it, and I didn't like it at the time. But I really, you know, again, yeah, I'm very grateful now. But I didn't. I was in choir in high school. I didn't actually start playing guitar until I was about a senior, my senior year of high school, and didn't really start playing it. I didn't start writing my own songs until actually just a couple of years ago.
Wow. So you took piano lessons, you sang in the choir, mm-hmm. and when did the urge to start writing songs come?
I'd always kind of like had little fragments kind of floating around, but I never sort of turned them into anything. Mm-hmm. There was, a few years ago, it was, I just started, like I had sat down and wrote a song that was, you know, very indicative of what I was feeling at that particular moment in time. It was probably a set of probably some of the most personal songs that I've ever written. They're not on the record or anything, but they were sort of an entry point into starting to write in a more focused way. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I don't know if I could say floodgates opened, but it was a moment where things started going very fast, and it was only about 3 years ago.
So you start to give voice to your own feelings, and then it went from there.
Yeah, and I, at least for right now, I'm more comfortable as a storyteller than as somebody who's sort of, I think there's, you know, there may be enough guys with acoustic guitars spilling their own personal thoughts and problems out onto the world. So I prefer to tell stories about other people's thoughts and problems.
You tell some very interesting stories. We're going to hear a murder ballad a little bit later, yes. I think, right? You've
yes.
got one that's pretty powerful, kind of surprising. I shouldn't have given it away.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay.
But you talked a little bit about playing guitar, and I just want to mention the instruments that you brought with you today. On that first one, we heard you playing dobro.
Yes.
And have you been playing that long? Is that a...
The dobro is a very new thing for me. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, very new in the sense of within the last year. Mm-hmm. So I got it. It was one of those classic musician stories where I went to the guitar store to get a cable and some strings, and I sat down, and it was right before the holidays, and so there was this dobro that was sitting there, and it was really, really cheap on sale before Christmas, and I sat down and started fooling around with it, and all of a sudden there were like two or three songs that just sort of messing around with it started coming to me, and that was sort of a sign. And I had, you know, in my I had the funds to do it, and so I picked it up, and it's been a really good complement to more traditional six string playing.
Yeah, it has a certain feel. It gives mm-hmm. a certain sense to your music.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's nice. And now you're playing a regular six string guitar.
Correct.
And we also heard you playing harmonica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any further instruments in your future? Do you ever play the keyboard?
I don't play a lot of the keyboard. I have one at home, but it's. You know, some instruments I think just make more sense to some people, and despite the fact I took piano lessons, I was a reasonable piano player, but the guitar just seems to at least for now it's a more expressive instrument for mm-hmm. me as far as how it pairs with the sort of thoughts in my head.
Right, I get it. Well, why don't we hear another song? What would you like to do next?
I'm gonna do this is another new song. It doesn't really have a name yet. It's had various sort of running names. One is Inheritance, one is Dying Days, which is pretty obvious. But it's a song really about, again, sort of where I come from and about watching a small town and people that you care about and places you care about really struggle and sort of, you know, the new economy that's not so new anymore, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know what it's called, but...
I remember my grandfather's hands, crisscross map deep cut like the rivers and lands, calloused and tore up from 48 years at the plow. His forehead worry lines, they rhythmed with seasons, till capital markets gave him a reason. When the factory farms plowed them under 4 decades ago. And border men called him a small cost of progress, said the same of his friends and their prospects. And at his request, in a backfield neath an oak tree, his memory lays. But only the luckiest ones will survive the Midwest dying days. I remember my father's strong arms, roped rock from his 25 years building cars at the Janesville GM plant, where he worked on the engine block line. Took a square jawline pride in his labors and bitched about folks getting government favors, till the ragging recession threw his ass on the dole for a tie. And things bounced back before they got worse, the industry racked by blue-collar curse. And now there's more places to drink than there are ways a man can get paid. And only the soberest ones will survive the Midwest dying days. But now I've been 22 years in these bars with some ghosts of unfortunate men. Well, we grew up together, boasted about getting out, but still ended up here in the end. And the sun still comes up on this place I grew up, but it don't look the same to me now. It's colder and dimmer, and it shine, it don't glimmer the same way it used to somehow. And I've grown to hate the palms of my hands, too soft with no sense of hard labor or land. And I worry sometimes what my granddad would think of me now. But like him, I do the best that I can with limited options and circumscribed plans. I push paper for paychecks at the last living business in town. And I hope my son something better, but so far he's lived my life down to the letter. But come on, kid, this life, it'll dig you a grave in so many ways. And only the strongest of us will survive the Midwest dying days. Only the luckiest will survive the Midwest dying days.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Simon Balto, and just did a song that I'm hearing for the first time right here, another powerful one. Holy cow, Simon. The visions of the hardened palms, and then the next generations not having those, you know, having the soft palms. And you covered farming and industrial manufacturing, and you just covered so much ground in very few words. Really, really nice. Thank you. Thank you for that. You mentioned by email when we were getting this set up that you listened to Wisconsin Public Radio and listened to Simply Folk as a kid.
I did, yeah. This is a very cool radio spot for me to do. I was Simply Folk is now 35.
Yeah.
I'm now 31. and so, you know, really from the time I was, I mean, literally from the time I was a kid, Sunday evenings were sort of, you know, Simply Folk was a constant presence in the house. And so it's very cool to be able to do this. Thank you very much
for
having me.
It's so nice to hear that. And then to hear music in the spirit of what's been played over these last decades come back in a new form.
Yeah.
About Wisconsin from a new artist. It's really thrilling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what's next for you? You've had all kinds of, I should say, acclaim and wonderful words written about your music. People have compared you to John Prine and Bob Dylan and Joan Baez as a songwriter. I hear your delivery. I hear a little bit of John Prine in your delivery. And so what's coming for you?
You know, it's a little hard to say. I've got some, you know, some shows coming up that I'm really excited about. I'm also slowing down a little bit on shows going into the winter. The summer was very, very busy touring all over, doing a lot of shows that I was really, really privileged to be able to do. I'm also working on finishing a PhD in history right now. So I'm focusing on that this fall and doing a few shows here and there. And then in the spring, I think spring or early summer, I've got plans to go into the studio and record another album. And I think I've got some people, you know, it'll be different than the last one. The last one was very lo-fi and very much a sort of, you know, it's just me and a friend who was there to record it. It was a very, very sort of insular thing. And I've got a lot of very, very dear friends that are going to be, I think, participating in the next album, which will be really cool.
You've been working with some of the wonderful musicians that we have down in the South Central part of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. it sounds like.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to hear that. Yeah. Well, I've got a follow up PhD in history. What is your area of interest?
You know, my master's degree was in African American studies, so it's you know, sort of broadly defined about civil rights history and civil rights issues.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think your music will reflect any of the studies that you're doing, or has it already?
I think it has already. There's a song on the last record called Murders that was very much it maybe would make more sense if you were to go back and listen to it now, but it was written after I read a biography of John Brown, and so it wasn't really about John Brown himself, but it was sort of imagining the process and thought of going through a slave uprising and sort of the realities of what that meant for most people that I think, you know, within the world of Django Unchained and all these other sort of glorifications of, you know, slave uprisings, that we have a perception that those worked, and they usually did not. It's sort of about imagining what that entails for somebody that has, you know, chosen to try to overturn the system, knowing full well what is the likelihood of what's going to happen.
How it's going to end. And that's another one that I listened to that I found very evocative.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just beautiful language and beautiful music. And thanks for sort of elucidating that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And let me add that we're talking about music that was on a CD that is called The Roads That Make Men Weary. Mm-hmm. And that's available on your website either for downloading or as a physical copy, right?
Correct, yeah. I have a formal website. It's simonbaltomusic.com. And then there's also, I guess, a more direct way to, you can purchase it there, but really purchasing it there redirects you to a Bandcamp site. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you want to go directly, it's simonbalto.bandcamp.com.
All right. We'll put all that. That's all on our website.
Okay.
Well, why don't we finish with a song? What would you like to close with, Simon?
I am going to close with the murder ballad to which you alluded. This is a song called Jacksonville that was written. It's not a particularly creative title. It was written after I spent some time in Jacksonville, Florida last year. It's a sort of twist on a murder ballad, I guess.
There's whiskey in a mason jar and cigarettes out in the car. She said, please drive me anywhere but here. Through a broken, unhinged screen porch door seems something like a metaphor. But for what at first was not quite clear. I loved her back since I was 10. She looked through me at least since then. But they say it's always hope that dies the last. So I held and kissed her head, and beyond saw 2 feet sprawled on the bed. In a pool of blood at first, I had looked past. And by midnight, we'd hit the I-10 pass. Her porcelain face pressed against the glass. There ain't nothing for us here, she said to me. Just keep on driving until we reach the sea. I asked if I could ask what happened. She looked at me with both eyes blackened. She asked me, do you really need to ask? With windows open wide, the smell of ocean coming in her sight. Glancing over, I saw her sipping from a flask. And she looked at me inside, then looked away out at the ebbing tide, and pulled a strand of hair back from her face. She said, I don't feel joy or grief, just filled up with an odd relief, and I wish to feel I'm at peace anyplace. And by 3 a.m., we'd hit the Georgia coast. We passed a resurrection fern, giving up the ghost. We dug its babies to plant at our new home. Set him in the backseat with a shovel and some stones. And we found a patch of sand out where the stars and ocean meet the land. I asked, was it okay if I got drunk? And when the moon had settled down so far, she got up and walked to the car. I stumbled over as she opened up the trunk. Sank his body in a water tomb. She said it will be first light soon. We gotta get the hell out of this place. So I drove northward through the shadows, on past miles of fields laying fallow, and her head upon my shoulder felt like grace. And by morning light, we'd hit the Carolina line. Headed nowhere certain, so much as race and time. There ain't nothing for us here, she said again. I started knowing then how all of this would end. In Myrtle Beach, the sun came up, drinking coffee out of paper cups. She smiled wry and leaned her head on me. I held and kissed her head as the dawn turned the city skyline red. I turned my eyes and looked out at the sea. When the cops put us in separate cars, I stared out through the window bars and looked out at her looking back at me. And she smiled one more time, wiped a single tear out of her eye, and mouthed the words, thank you, I feel free. Thank you.
Jacksonville with blood and blackened eyes and a line that ends with being free, feeling free. Mm-hmm. Pretty powerful stuff. Well, Simon Balto, thank you very much for sharing your music and your lyrics and your talent with us, Simply Folk listeners. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Can't wait to hear what's coming next.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.